For our last reading, it's a little bit different tack than what we had in the prior two sessions, but I think it's also very helpful. And if by no means, I think there's probably other things that we could look at and study to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ presently is doing now in heaven for us. One of the things that we could look at in the context of what we've been reading in John 14, there is this individual aspect, individual perspective. He was going away, leaving the disciples. He wanted them to be aware that they were not going to be left without one to come alongside to help, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven as our comforter, patron, and advocate. We looked at that, and we can make an individual connection to that reality of Christ's ministry. Likewise, in the high priest, the context of Hebrews was to saints who were suffering and under persecution. They were trying to really distinguish themselves from Judaism and to see the value of what it is to be in Christ, and many were suffering on account of it. And so the writer gives them all of the excellencies of the Lord Jesus Christ so that their hearts and affections might be attracted to him and they might be able to overcome it. But for the last reading, we want to look at something that's a little bit different, where it's not, we don't really have this individual ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that can, or can be applied to us individually, or individual type ministry, but a ministry that's to the assembly. I want to look at a couple verses in Ephesians and get Brother Bill to read these verses, and then we can make a couple more introductory remarks. But the idea here is not that it's something that we can connect with individually, but one of the things that I've always been think through is that not only has the Lord saved me individually, as an individual, you know, but he has then placed me into the body of Christ. And so I have a collective connection, if I can call it that way, in the body of Christ. And there's associations and responsibilities connected with being in a group. So we have, yes, our individual salvation, our individual walking with the Lord to experience the ministries that we looked at earlier, but we're also brought into a collection. We're in the assembly. We're members of the body of Christ. We are part of the house of God. And so we want to look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to this collective in some verses in Ephesians.
Looking at chapter 4 in Ephesians, and verse 8. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 25, middle of the verse. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Following the discourse of the Lord Jesus in John 13, 14, and 15, and 16, we have in chapter 17, the Lord praying. And not only is he praying for the individual disciples, but he recognizes that there is going to be a company of those who believe on him through the apostles' words. And he prays that this company might be with him where he is, that they might behold his glory. And so in the Lord's thoughts, not only did he love his own, the individual disciples that he gathered in that room, and by extension, every individual believer who he calls and teaches and saves and provides for, but he has in view a unity. He says, I pray that they might be one. That these individuals whom I've saved, who I've kept, they might be one. They might be unitized in such a way that they bear testimony to the reality of my coming. And so the truth of the assembly and the body of Christ is a very wonderful truth, one that we take a lot of delight in. But we have to remember that it is the ascended Lord who has a specific interest, and he makes specific provisions for the body, for the assembly. And that's what the subject is of this reading is, the present ministry of the Lord to the assembly, in the sense that, one, he's ascended and he has deposited gifts for the building up of the body of Christ, and then also his present ministry with regards to sanctification, the verse in John 17, which is at the top of the outline, where he would desire to see the assembly presented to himself without spot. But even now, it is through the washing of the water of the Word that he ministers from heaven for the assembly. These are the two lines we want to look at in this final session.
We see in this verse that the assembly or the church is not a separate entity from God or from Jesus Christ, fully connected to him. It's to him, it's through him. And the Lord himself has laid the foundation for it, is building it, and is fitting it, that he might present it to himself, as we read, in a coming day. So it's not a separate entity where man is doing this, or man is doing that, or man is doing anything that he feels like doing, or playing church, or feigning holiness. No, it's not it. It's all about the Lord Jesus and what he is doing. And if it wasn't for the work of Christ, obviously there'd be no church. There'd be all sorts of religions that we have already.